Well, good morning again. Good to be with you again. Yeah, last week you had Reverend Rich Bledsoe here, and I trust and hope that was just a good engagement. Rich is someone who's been in Boulder, he probably told you, a long time. So I told you this even the week before that. He was one of the people who met me right away when I came to town. You know, if he hears a new pastor's coming, I think Rich is that kind of a person. So is Matt Carlson, by the way, over at Boulder Valley Christian Church. You know, they call me up, want to get to know me. And part of it was, this happened with Matt. I just got to say this. Matt goes, you know, he's trying to check me out. It almost was like, you know, is this going to be okay that this new pastor's in town? Because what happens over the years in Boulder is so many people come to plant a church here, and they only last 2 years, maybe five at the most, and they're gone. It's just because Boulder can be such a hard place to do ministry that way or get something started. Well, you need to know, like in the last like 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, we've had a couple of church plants in town here that have stuck, and they're really doing well. And yeah, it's just good to see. But anyway, hey, that's just an aside. So something for your curiosity. God shows us the way to loving our neighbor. For 3 weeks now, I've been trying to move, actually, after first week, for sure the second week, but then the third week, I wanted to move from loving God to loving your neighbor. I think I'm going to get there today. It's just so much to say. And I want to say this as a statement right up front. The kingdom of God is like loving your neighbor and cultivating relationships. Healthy ones, good ones, forgiving ones, graceful ones, truthful ones with your neighbor. Curiosity and neighboring hospitality, I'll get to those by the end. We'll see how fast we get there. I just want to read some scripture for you this morning, and it's scripture that we've looked at the last 4 weeks, okay? And it's the greatest commandment. When Jesus was asked to summarize the law or give us the greatest commandment, he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And a second is like it, which means just like it. It's an outflow of it. It's such a natural thing that happens out of love for God, is to love your neighbor. One more text I want to read from Matthew 9 because it's captured my heart with this series. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and you know, he has ears, let him hear this. The harvest is plentiful. Look around. But the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. By the way, that's us. Wherever we may go, into his harvest field. So, this is the word of the Lord. God shows us the way to loving our neighbor by giving us the keys to the kingdom. Loving God and loving neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor as we love ourselves? Have you contemplated that with any depth? Or better yet, what does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? Now, I know I'm just springing this on you. I'm going to read the question a couple more times. I want you to take just a moment and talk with your neighbor. Give one thing that you think, all right? We're not interested in wrong and right answers so much as that we're sharing with one another what we think. How does it look? Can you give it a word? Can you give it a quality? Can you give it a characteristic? What does it mean? How does it look to love your neighbor? Go ahead. All right. I hope this is obvious in some ways. All right. Easy, right? Give me a couple words.
Hospitality.
One more time.
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Being welcoming. Inviting. Anything else? Available, right? Not so busy, right? That you're being interrupted all the time. You actually can be interrupted by other people and not be so grumpy about it. You know, there's more to it. What?
Humility.
Absolutely foundational. I mean, if you spend any time around the Word, or you spend any time contemplating the love of God for us as sinners and what He has done for us, humility. Yes? One more time? Mow their lawn. Thank you for getting super practical. Would somebody please love me? Yeah. Oh, I did that. No. Hey, what else? Give me a couple more.
Sharing.
And I'm thinking when you say that, you're saying that you're in close proximity enough to people and your neighbor, right? That you can share live your life in different ways. Lots of different ways. One more?
Listening.
Taking the time to listen. Wow. I think you're going to hear some echoes today by the end. You know, if we look at Jesus' life, I've always been a fan of the Sermon on the Mount. And there's one part in the Sermon on the Mount where sometimes you think it's just a string of stuff like teachings that Matthew put together, and do they even flow? But Jesus moves through all these different things. He moves through, this is what it means to not murder, really. This is what it means to not commit adultery, really. I mean, he goes through all these kind of things. And then he talks about, you know, don't let people give you all kinds of kudos or do your things, your good works in front of others so you'll be seen by others and be recognized. You've got your reward. And then he goes into this famous passages. Not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And I think it's a summary. It's like all these things I'm teaching you, don't do this. Instead, store up here. Well, I think it has a lot to do with loving your neighbor, the things we mentioned. That's how you store up things in heaven. Moth and vermin don't destroy. Thieves can't break in and steal it because your treasure is in the Lord. And then he talks about not worrying. What a problem we have today, man. We worry. In fact, our news just instigates stuff to get us to worry. Don't worry. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. And Jesus says some more things about judging. Don't judge others the same way you judge. You'll be judged. I mean, it's like a, you know, wake-up call. And then he gives a summary statement. He says, enter through the narrow gate, right? He says, the wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the one that leads to life. And you're wondering, well, what's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a narrow door. You're everything. Love your neighbor as I have loved you, Jesus said. And Jesus gives this summary statement. He says, all these things could be summed up like this. I kind of like this guy. Do to others what? Do to others what you'd have them do to you. Simple. Why is it so complicated then? Why do we have such a hard time doing it? You know, I wonder if the summary statement shouldn't be this, and in fact it is, because Scripture gives us this summary statement all the time. This is a message from God, how we ought to live, how we ought to be. Do to others as I, your Lord God, have done for you. Do you see how a little different? Do to others what you'd have them do to you. It's kind of like we can analyze each other. Like, I want to be treated by Peter I want to treat Peter how I would want to be treated. That's nice. But then think about what God did for us. God so loved the world, right? And all this, what he's done for us. Do as I, God, have done for you. What a couple of huge motivators. Simple. Why is it so hard? How can we live into the simple, life-giving, God-honoring, neighbor-flourishing instruction of God for the promotion of life and goodness, for fulfilling our God-created purpose? In fact, that's exactly why Jesus died. I say this over and over, but it just fits so well here. It's like Jesus, you know, he's about ready to be crucified to show the ultimate love, to give his life for others. And he washes the disciples' feet, and he just concludes it by saying, as I've done for you, do for others. Easy. Why so difficult for us? Well, it begins with compassion. And I want to talk just a little bit about these words. Compassion is a word full of life, passion, compassion for others, with others. Too often it's full of misunderstandings and misconceptions. So how does one get compassion? Well, as a image of God created human being, that's all of us, well, compassion, we must get to know the God of compassion, the true God, to know him. For God is the source of all compassion, the author and giver of compassion. God is full of compassion, abounding in love. One must get to know God, have God dwelling at the center of one's being and one's heart in order to begin to even make the step to love your neighbor. Without it, it's just wishful thinking, it's just do-gooding without any rootedness, without any groundedness. So how does one gain compassion? Well, someone mentioned already a quality, I think, of loving your neighbor requires humility. A simple definition is being free of pride and arrogance. Well, that's simple. Why is it so hard? Humility can be elusive. It requires almost another quality, and that would be surrender. When you look at a definition of surrender, then it starts to make some sense, and you start looking at Jesus, and you look at God, to yield to a higher power, to give up completely, to give our lives over, to willingly give one's life to God. Now, I'm putting surrender in the context of God and a relationship with him. And now that flows to others. Well, so easy. This does not come easy for us. Compassion requiring humility, the necessary surrender, opens the door for embracing and then embodying compassion, which leads us to the third word I have up there. Now, I could have picked a lot of other words, but these are ones I just think want us to think about. Sacrifice. We, in our culture today, do not value sacrifice. It's more about what you can get, how you can fulfill yourself, how you can find happiness and all the different myriad of ways that the world offers it. And to get there is go get what's yours. Take it. Now, I'm not making an ultimatum statement there, okay? There's always nuances to some of these things, but that's what trips us up. Surrender, humility leads to a deeper, more rich, more real compassion if it's grounded in the God of all compassion. And then we basically do to others as God has done to us. It'll start to make these things easier, even leading us to a point of being able to sacrifice. Well, what does this look like? Embracing humility, surrender, sacrifice is where loving God and loving neighbor start to make sense, where you find joy in it and you lean into it in all kinds of beautiful ways of, I'm going to say, curiosity, hospitality, neighboring. Maybe Jesus illustrates this best when he's really been teaching about what greatness really looks like. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, Lord, remove this cup from me. And isn't it wonderful? The struggle that we can see, it's actually wonderful that Jesus struggled. Sweat, tears of blood. Lord, remove this cup from me. One time, two time, three times. And then he replies, not my will, but yours be done. He just stated and embodied exactly what is needed for compassion, what is needed for loving our neighbor. Filled with humility, filled with surrender, filled with sacrifice. Jesus shows us the way, yet it's still difficult for us. I'm going to skip something I had here. How does one even come to know compassion so we might love our neighbor well? Well, I began with getting to know God and loving him. I think that's where it starts. I think about the question of God as being so curious, with asking us really every day, but sometimes we're not noticing, we're not hearing, not listening. And he says, where are you? It's like God is just longing for us to be in close intimacy and proximity with him. And it's something that's very difficult to do. To seek God as God seeks us. To pursue God as God pursues us. To love God ultimately today as God loves us. Well, we need to get to know God and then give it up for God. Surrender. Dionne just finished a grant proposal with the Lilly Foundation. All right, they give out tons of money and grants to all kinds of organizations and lots of faith organizations as well. She did it through Volunteers in Action, where she works. The grant title is Rooted in Christ for Fruitful Service. The grant is designed to integrate the love of God and love of neighbor through practices that nurture deep roots in Christ. Do you see the source? And engaging in loving service to others, loving your neighbor. In the grant proposal, she makes a connection early on. To live life deeply rooted in Christ, love for neighbor will naturally flow from that union. I think this is why for 3 weeks I've had a hard time moving on to loving your neighbor, because we need to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Central, necessary, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-transforming power. Yet, why is it so difficult? It's because we always want to grab control again. We always want to make our own decisions. We want to move forward without seeking God's counsel. Sometimes we even think we want to just make God, maybe we want to please God so much that we forget to ask him what it is that we should do. We're ahead of him, maybe often behind him, but often just not in sync with him. So when we see things where God may be leading us to love our neighbor in specific ways, sometimes we can't. We don't have the ability. We're so weighed down with all kinds of other relational junk. We aren't free ourselves, and so it's hard to be able then to love another freely. To receive God's love is the first step to love God. To receive God's love is the first step in loving others. Okay, let's get to the heart of it for today. Well, maybe what I said was the heart of it. I don't know. How can we love our neighbor? I'm going to give just some suggestions. And this is something certainly as a church that we will be leaning into in the future. You may hear a little bit about this at the congregational meeting today right after the service. But I want you to contemplate this and see how you could implement just some of these simple things in your life this week. In fact, let's just say today. Lord, I'm going to have so many interactions with other people today. I don't know where it will be, what it will look like. But would you give me eyes to be able to notice, to be able to listen well, to actually be able to ask more questions than give answers, to be able to seek to get to know somebody rather than want to tell someone what I know? Would you just help me with something simple like that today and see what kind of doors open and how people feel loved? People who feel listened to feel loved. People who are noticed feel loved. People who are asked questions of and people someone wants to get to know them, they feel loved. Curiosity. So do to others what you'd have them do to you. Don't you have that? You just wish somebody would know me. I would start with getting to know others, getting to know God. I think God is the most curious person, eternal being, of course, there ever was. Mark, where are you? It's hard to think of God as being curious, but I think he is. Mark, what is this that you're doing? Mark, do you love me? What a curious question. Mark, what would you like me to do for you? Do you know that every one of those questions come right out of Scripture from Genesis chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 8? God is curious. So love others as I have loved you, says the Lord. Be curious. Sometimes we just think we know so much about people. We spend time in close proximity. This can happen in marriage. This can happen with your kids. It can happen all. You think you know everything about somebody. You've drawn conclusions. But maybe what we should be is a bit more curious because we are all so unbelievably complex. That's love. When Jesus saw the crowds, right there is something profound. Jesus saw them. Jesus sees them. He sees and he notices. Do we have that with our neighbors? And he has compassion on them. That's his response. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Well, we've all been there, if not there, right now. Already, Jesus gives us a posture, a simple clue to notice, to see those around us. It's a posture of love. So, what about this week trying to be conscious of wondering more? Do you ever wonder where you see something that someone's doing that's totally like stupid or not the right thing, or maybe you're tempted to judge, or you're like, hear somebody say something, and right away you're like, you know, you want to make a judgment? What if you just simply responded in your spirit to say, man, I wonder what's going on for them. To ask, like, you seem really upset. What's happening? What's going on? Even a simple thing like that, wow, opens up doors to a lot of different things. So, be curious. I'm going to say a couple things about today's culture because it's just, I think, very true. We are plagued today so much with the curse of prideful certainty on matters that we need to be much more curious. Our political world doesn't help us one bit with this. It's also the negative flip side of AI. So many wonderful, awesome things AI can do. It's stunning. Yet AI, too, can have a negative flip side. The endless news sources, the 24/7 flow of information, our society, we ourselves, we like to reward sounding sure about something rather than admitting uncertainty or engaging in some curiosity, some exploration. trying to find out more to understand and to know. You know, this actually is humility, I would think. We reward relationally, communally, right answers over asking good questions that lead to deeper understanding and truth. Getting to know your neighbor is like that. Respond with curiosity. You have to wonder more and more if we are curious. You know, the impact of our world, everything's a soundbite. Like, I was thinking about this too, like with, you know, these 1 minute things I've been putting out, I question it all the times. And then I'll run into someone who says, hey, I enjoy those, blah, 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 so maybe I keep doing it. But it just contributes to, hey man, if you can't say it in a minute, I'm not gonna listen to you. In fact, if you don't say something in the first 20 seconds that captures my attention, beep. We live in a clickbait world. It's hard to be curious. Fast-paced, short attention spans. We are not good at asking good questions. We're terrible. So how about in a relationship this week, you simply think about this, and I know I've mentioned this before recently, but in a conversation or maybe say for one day, I'm going to try and not offer stories of my own life so much as I'm going to really be curious about getting to know those around me and responding with questions to further understand, to further know, to love, and see how you start to feel when you don't get to express your own person in ways of sort of interjection or just try it. So simple. So hard. Second thing, and then I'm going to wrap it up today. Loving your neighbor. So the first one was curiosity, okay? Curiosity. First is getting to know God, love God. But then loving your neighbor, I talked about curiosity, hospitality, the word was mentioned. I think Sue, you just threw it out there. Muffy did. Hospitality. To be welcoming, to be generous to neighbor. Who is our example of hospitality? Jesus. Who didn't consider equality with God something to hold on to, but instead humbled himself, took on the form of humanity, was born, lived, experienced everything he experienced all the way to a cross. Talk about hospitality. If you ever think about the origins of our being created in the image of God, you cannot think about it without thinking about God's unbelievable hospitality. Look what he has made. Look at the life he's given you. Look what he has placed in our hands. Hospitality. Do unto others as I've done for you, God says. Be hospitable. Err on the side of hospitality. Hospitableness. Hospitality. I love Abraham for this. I don't know what to think of him, you know, going places and traveling and telling, you know, the leaders, because he was fearful or something, that, you know, his wife was his sister. Now, you know, I don't know exactly where that is, and I don't like that. But I really like the story of when these visitors come, and Sarah and Abraham just open up their home. It was what they needed. Unbelievably hospitable. And I don't think he had a clue he was entertaining angels. In fact, good evidence that one of those three was the Son of God. Do unto others in your life what I have done for you. Of course, the example of Jesus Christ How about the early church when the Holy Spirit comes on the people and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in people's lives is this unbelievable fellowship and community? You just get all kinds of beautiful pictures, right, from Acts and the early church of how this went. And you cannot help but see they are completely living into hospitality with one another. Welcoming, generous, loving their neighbor. Wow. Humility, surrender, sacrifice, all leading to compassion. So, how does this look? I'm going to finish with a couple of stories. This is how I'll finish. Land the plane. By the way, I listened to Irwin McManus' sermon. Oh, it was really good. It was really good. Dion always sends me these things. They're so good. And he's a preacher, pastor in Hollywood. And he preached for 53 minutes, man. I won't do that. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago, Dion goes in shopping. She comes out. There's a note on her door. What is this, you know? And someone went through a lot of effort to have this printed. It's like a little card, you know, you give with your kind of personal contacts, and it says, "You park like an idiot." Flip it over, and it's got all the reasons. You can check one, two, three. Maybe you can check them. What's really cruel is it didn't check one, so Dion had no idea. Is that how you love your neighbor? Things like that. We got to spend some time with our grandsons. It was great. First time this has happened with our grandsons, our daughter Ellie, husband Dave, they went to the Pacific Northwest. They're both teachers. They got the summer off. They planned a week out there. They were tromping around Olympic, just having a good time around Seattle. And so we went in and watched the boys for 3 days straight. Now, this is why you have kids when you're young. it was really special time. But there was one time where, you know, this is normal kid stuff. We're eating dinner, and sometimes, you know, they're a little particular. You know, we're not there all the time knowing exactly what to make or how to prepare it or how to present it, you know, all this stuff, right? And sometimes if there's something a little off, and it was pretty good, but there was one thing that happened, which was just, it was an amazing encounter. Like, you know, I'm someone who, like, I'm going to reason with the kid. Hey, it was something about milk. Okay, it was almond milk. And almond milk is almond milk, I think, right? Especially if you get the right, like, natural, right? Or vanilla, as long as you do like with like and what they're used to. And it was exactly, but it wasn't the same package. So it was like, man, that silly thing like that, in that time, whatever, and the day, it kind of set him off. And so Reed, you know, leaves the table. He's like crying. He's upset. Dion, you know, we're trying to, you know, explain to Reed, it's the same thing. It's just got different packaging, but something's not computing for him. And so he's really upset. So I'm trying to reason him through this. I mean, Reed, it's the same thing. Look, you know, no, it's not. This went on for a couple minutes. And then I don't know why. It's not because I'm some exceptional parent, grandparent. But I was like, I'm just going to walk over to Reed, get in close proximity to him. And I said, Reed, can I give you a hug? And Reed hugged me. And he just melted into me. And I said to Reed, after that, I said, Reed, it really is the same thing, just a different package. He goes right over to the table, sits down, eats. Now, I don't think that happens every time. But there's something powerful in that experience that explains God's movement toward us. And it's exactly what we need. And in that kind of place of knowing the love of God, I can feel safe. I can walk through life. I can be free to love others. I think there's something in that story that it just clicks for me. I understand. Maybe Reed, in that experience, you know, I don't think he's thinking about this deep at this time. It's like, Reed, you know the love Grandma and I have for you, your mom and dad have for you. You know, show that kind of same love to the people around you. God loves me, so I love you. I can do it in humility. I can do it by listening. I can do it by being curious. Don't have to be about me. I can do it by being hospitable, even when maybe that doesn't feel like the right move. I can be generous.